Blog Talk Radio.
They said we could
stay in the
velvet liner.
Absolutely.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music, too. Spend some time in the country. We've been waiting here for you. Here in the country, waiting here for you.
Live from Ontario and heard around the world, welcome to In the Country with Dave Woods. This is the place for up-close and personal interviews, as well as great country music from our featured guests. So sit back and relax. Today's show starts right now.
From the honky-tonks of Beaumont, Texas, to the top of the country music charts, it's a journey that Mark Chestnut has taken all because of his passion for music. His first radio single in 1990, Too Cold at Home, made it clear that he was undeniably country. Soon he won the CMA Horizon Award and went on to climb the charts on radio and CMT numerous times. Now Mark has released Outlaw, produced by Pete Anderson, featuring the Chestnut Touch on classics by Waylon Willie, Hank Jr., and Christofferson. It's my great pleasure to welcome Mark Chestnut to the show. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
I am doing great. How about yourself today?
Oh, I'm good.
It is always great news to hear that there's a new Mark Chestnut album available. And in fact, way back in 1990 when Too Cold at Home came out, I heard it on the radio. I had to buy that tape and I've been a fan ever since.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Now, the new CD, Mark, is called Outlaw, featuring all these great classic songs. Do you want to talk about when the idea was presented to you to do this CD, what your first thoughts were?
I thought it was a great idea, and my first thought was, why me? I mean, am I the only guy that was available? Did everybody else turn him down? But Pete told me, he said, no, he said, he told me that I was his first choice, and because he'd always liked my music, and we'd met once before over in Switzerland and spent a long time talking, and he just wanted to work together. So I just thought it was an honor to be able to work with such a legend.
Now, of course, Pete Anderson, many people will recognize his name as working with Dwight Yoakam on many big hits and producing albums, and known for his great guitar work. I understand as a producer, you found quite relaxing to be in the studio with him.
I loved working with Pete because he likes to work the same way I do, which is in the middle of the night. You know, we would go in the studio at 9-10 o'clock at night and work until we were just exhausted, and then, you know, we could relax the next day and rest. And that's the way you're supposed to make music. You're not supposed to make it, you know, by schedules, and, you know, because music is just a different thing. It comes out of your soul, and if you're exhausted, tired, not into it at the time, it's just not right. Besides, I grew up singing in honky-tonks since I'm 15 years old, so, you know, it's not natural for me to sing anywhere during the day.
Probably wouldn't want to go sing on a morning show.
Well, you know, I don't care for it, but I've done it. It's not one of my favorite things to do, but, you know, I just have to psych myself up for it. But, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do when you're in this business.
Now, I heard you mention that Pete sat, he actually sat in the vocal booth with you about 5 feet away. Normally, a producer will sit where they can hear the stuff through a mixer and stuff, but he was hearing your vocals live and raw. Now, I guess that was a bit nerve-wracking at first.
It was weird, to say the least. I'd recorded many times, and you know, in Nashville, everybody, the producer was in the control room. You're in the vocal booth by yourself, and everybody's in there just looking at you, and it's really unnerving, to say the least. And then to have Pete just sitting there beside me in the vocal booth, I know all he's hearing. It's just my raw singing because he's not getting any playback.
Right.
There's no way you could get any playback in the vocal booth or it would bleed through the microphone. So I just said, well, you know, whatever. He's over there in the corner and I can't see him. So, you know, and I just sing. And I don't know why I did that other than the fact that he just wants to hear the raw vocals because he's so musical. He can hear the music in his head and he knows exactly what it sounds like, what it's going to sound like, what, you know, what it should sound like. So, and he was real happy with what we got. So my track vocal session turned into the keeper's vocals.
Excellent. So it was all done on that take and not having to redo it. That's terrific.
Yeah, we did. I was there for two nights and we worked for about, I don't remember, a couple hours, 3 hours, whatever it was. And I sang through the whole thing and then all the songs, you know, several times a piece. And then the next day we went in and did it again. And Pete said, well, you know, I'll just build the rest of the tracks because I was singing to just basic tracks, you know, bass, drums, acoustic guitar, things like that. And he built
yep.
the tracks around that. And the plan was for me to come back in the next month and after the tracks were completely finished and for me to lay down the real vocals. But Pete thought that everything was done in those two nights. And, you know, I think the reason why we got those vocals done those two nights is because I was so relaxed working with him and and his basic tracks were so good that it came out right, you know, and I just got lucky, I guess.
That's a great great process to have and work with somebody that you're comfortable with. Now you've recorded 12 songs for Outlaw, and I understand that there were about 50 songs in the running to choose from. Was it pretty tough to get it down from that many to these 12?
Yeah, it was pretty tough to do that because, like I said, there were several different lists to choose from, and we could only do 12 songs because if it was been up to me, we'd have had 6 discs for this album. Cool. You there?
The good news about that is, I guess, we could look forward to some further installments down the road.
Well, I hope so, because I would love to work with Pete again on another project. So, like I said, he was just a pleasure to work with.
So you narrowed it down to these 12, and one of the songs on it that we're going to be playing in a moment, Mark, is Loving Her Was Easier, a really beautiful song written by Kris Kristofferson, and he recorded it as well. Now, you always thought it was a pretty song, but the difficulty with this song, and I can imagine it, because there's so many words in it, makes it a bit difficult.
There, you know, everything that Kristofferson writes is like that. There's nothing but verses. Nothing repeats itself, except maybe the chorus a couple of times, but the entire song is verse after verse after verse, and each word means something different. And, you know, Chris comes up with things that nobody really says in everyday life, because he's a poet.
Right.
What he is, and the guy's writing beautiful words and phrases. Like, I mean, I don't know anybody that says, you know, healing as the colors in the sunshine, the shadows of your eyes. Have you ever said that to a woman?
I've never said that. Very poetic.
It is very poetic, and there's phrases in there that you just can't use. And speaking of early morning singing, I had to do a taping last week when I was in Nashville in a TV tape, and it was at 10 o'clock in the morning, and that was a little strange to do, but like I said, you know, I'd been up since 4:30, so by that time it felt like it was the middle of the night, but we were in this great city. We were in a bar down on Broadway in Nashville, so the setting was right, and I had my guitar player with me, but I had to have a cue card with all the verses written out because I always had trouble remembering those words.
No doubt, yeah, it is quite a wordy song, like you say, very poetic and very beautiful. But I know you got all the words right on the recording, so we'll share it now. It's a great song from Mark Chestnut's brand new CD, Outlaw. This is Loving Her Was Easier on In the Country.
I've seen the morning burning golden on the mountains in the sky. Aching with the feeling of the freedom of an eagle when she flies. Turning on the world the way she smiled upon my soul as I lay dying. Healing as the colors in the sunshine, the shadows of her eyes. Waking in the morning to the feeling of her fingers on my skin. Wiping out the traces of the people and the places that I've been. Teaching me that yesterday was something that I never thought of trying. Walking up tomorrow when the money, love, and time we had to spend. Loving her was easier than anything I'll ever do again. Coming close together with a feeling that I've never known before. Afraid to be a friend. I don't know the answer to the easy way she opened every door in my mind. Dreaming was as easy as believing it was never gonna end. Loving her was easier than anything I'll ever do again.
From his brand new CD, Outlaw, that is Mark Chestnut and his cover of the Kris Kristofferson classic, Loving Her Was Easier. Mark, I got a review here in Canada for you from Country Music News. Larry Delaney is the editor and publisher, and it's a monthly publication. He gave a great review to the CD, and he started off by saying, "Thank heavens we have pure country singers like Mark Chestnut still around. He remains one of the bona fide champions of traditional country music, not afraid to inject his Texas twang in his music." I'm sure there's a lot of people who feel that way, that it's great to have somebody out there who's still doing what we can clearly classify as country music.
Well, thank you. You know, that's what makes me feel proud, because I love country music. I always have loved real traditional country music, and That's just one of the greatest honors I can get. You know, if somebody says something like that about me, it means I'm doing my job, because that's really what all I've ever wanted to do.
Now, several of the songs on the album were made famous by Waylon Jennings, and I know that you first met him when you went into the studio back around 1994, and you recorded Rainy Day Woman as a duet with him. Now, I know that day was quite special for the two of you. Do you want to talk a bit about spending time with Waylon that day?
Yeah, that was a dream come true for me. You know, I'm a huge, huge Waylon Jennings fan, and I mean, I used to have dreams about the guy being a friend of mine, you know, just hanging out with him and singing with him, and I never met him. We had stood maybe 10 feet apart, but I was scared to go talk to him, because he's just a big guy that looked mean, you know, behind those sunglasses and everything, the beard and all in black, but I loved the guy. And then we were working on a new CD, and I was on the bus with my manager going down the road. We were listening to some old Waylon, and I said, we were playing Rainy Day Woman. I said, yeah, that's one of my favorite all-time Waylon songs. My manager said, well, why don't you record it? Why don't you redo that song? And he said, and we'll get Waylon to come in and sing it with you. I had a thing. I said, "Whoa, you think he would do that?" He said, "All we can do is make the call." And you know, since we had some of the same people working with us, and you know, publicists, we made the call. And I thought, he never even gonna respond to that big mean Waylon, you know, big bad Waylon.
Yep.
Well, the next day I found out Waylon would be glad to, and wanted to know if he could bring over a bridge. He said, I don't think the song was ever finished. You know, it needed a bridge. So do you mind if I bring that? Freaking out.
Wow. So he must have been pinching yourself.
Well, he came in there, and I was. And he showed up in the studio that day. And he had his guitar, you know. He had his Telecaster with him. And I thought, oh, this is going to be so cool. And I asked him, I said, could you play that famous guitar solo that's on the original? I said, oh, yeah, I'll give it a shot. And we got in there and talked. And it was time for a break, you know. And they were having to change some things in the studio. And so Waylon and I had about 2 hours to just sit and talk. So we went up to one of the offices there at the studio, and I had just gotten a brand new guitar, and Waylon picked it up and started playing on it.
Wow!
And he said, "Let me sing you this bridge I wrote to this song. Let me know if you don't like it." And he played it, and I said, "Yeah, that'll be perfect." And then we started talking and singing together on some of his old songs and harmonizing. Then he started singing all these little dirty songs that he had written over the years, little funny dirty songs, and telling me jokes and stories. And we had the best 2 hours. And by the time we got in there and recorded this song, we were actually standing face to face, recording this song together, and doing the harmonies and all live together to the tracks. And he went in there and played his guitar, did the ride. We talked and hung out some more. My wife was carrying our first son at the time, and we had a name picked out for him and everything. And before Waylon left, he said, all I want you to do is name that baby after me, boy or girl. Okay, what is, name that baby after me. He's just picking, you know. That's the kind of personality he had. And I called my wife immediately. I said, you know what? We're going to name our baby Waylon. And she thought about it for a second. She said, you know, that is great. And so until Waylon passed away, he would send little Waylon gifts for birthdays and Christmases. And we would talk on the phone all the time. And my son Waylon never had the chance to meet Big Waylon, because you know, we just kept putting things off and getting together and like that. And who knew that the Great Whaling was going to go.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's been the biggest thing, biggest disappointment in my entire life is not hanging out with him more and getting my son together with him.
What an incredible story, though, that you got to meet one of your great country music heroes and become friends and share all that great time. And on the CD, Outlaw, that we're talking about, you've done three of Waylon's songs, Are You Ready for the Country, Freedom to Stay, and Only Daddy That'll Walk the Line. And I also know that when you approached the CD, you wanted to sort of do all the songs in a different style, not just sort of follow a blueprint of the original. So with the Waylon songs, what do you think you were able to do a bit different?
That was the hardest thing to do, is to try to do these Waylon songs different, because obviously I didn't want to sound like I was trying to sing like Waylon, and that's something I've always tried to sound like Waylon on his songs. Yeah, you know, I know every Waylon song, every Waylon lick, you know, that he used, and so that was the hardest thing to do. So, you know what, I just said, to hell with it. I'm just going to sing it the way I know it and the way I feel it, because that's the way Waylon did it. And that, so pretty much a lot of this stuff is was the way Waylon sang these songs. Even some of the stuff that Waylon had never recorded is some stuff that I did. And, you know, I snuck some songs in there that are not really well-known Waylon Jennings songs. But, you know, a lot of people don't realize he did cover Loving Her Was Easier. And he also did cover a couple more years. So,
yeah,
I stuck a lot of Waylon Jennings influence in there, even though it's not very obvious. But if you're a Waylon fan and if you listen closely, you can tell that I've listened to a whole lot of Waylon.
Awesome, definitely. Now, Hank Jr. is another influence and another artist that you cover on the CD, Whiskey Bent and Hellbound, Country State of Mind. Do you want to talk about Hank Jr. a bit and recording those songs?
Hank Jr. is another huge hero. I love Hank Williams Jr. to death, man. He's always been one of my heroes. And when I was probably 14, 15 years old, you know, I had to go out and buy me a hat. That's the reason I wear a cowboy hat today, is because of Hank Jr. and Waylon.
Wow.
I went and bought me a hat, and that's why I wear a hat today. You know, it wasn't George Strait. It ain't that I'm a cowboy or anything. It's not the fact that I'm from Texas. It's because of Waylon and Hank. And, you know, it started out, I'm a huge Hank Williams Sr. fan to start with. And so, that's where the hat thing come from. But I kind of look silly at 14, 15 years old, kind of walking around with a beard and sunglasses on. It's hard to pull off with peach fuzz, you know.
But exactly.
Hank's a huge hero, and I've also had the opportunity to hang out with Hank Williams Jr. a whole lot. And he's, you know, another great guy. I love him, and he's been a good friend, and I wish we could be closer, but, you know, I kind of like to stay away from my heroes. I don't want to bother them, but like George Jones, guys like that, you know, I've had the opportunity to be friends with just about all my heroes.
Pretty amazing.
I wanted to talk
in a little bit about George Jones, but wanted to just a couple more songs on the album, Mark, to focus on. But Guy Clark's song, Desperado's Waiting for a Train, you fell in love with it when you heard the version by the Highwaymen. That's sort of the one that sort of made that song come alive for you. Do you want to talk about when you went into the studio and recorded it and sort of what it was like with your version?
Yeah, that's another one of those songs I've never sang before, never sang. And I'd heard several versions of it, but the one I fell in love with, like you said, was the Highwaymen. And once again, there's Waylon, you know, and then there's
yep.
Willie Nelson also. Willie Nelson also is a big influence on me. I've always loved Willie, and when Willie made the changeover, and Waylon did too, you know, they made that big changeover to the outlaw movement. They created the outlaw movement, which didn't have a name until the press dubbed it that. But all that meant was these guys just were tired of doing it the Nashville way, which was, you know, you're told what to do, what to record, and all that. And these guys used to have short hair and, you know, clean shaven faces. And the next thing you know, they're growing their hair long, they're growing beards, they're looking real cool, and they're living, you know, they're living the rock and roll lifestyle, and they're bringing rock fans into country music, and that's why they called it outlaw to start with. And so that's the reason I did Desperado's Waiting for a Train, because two of the best outlaw, two of the original outlaws, well, the two original outlaws did this song along with Chris and these guys like that, you know, and Johnny Cash, they're all outlaws. And so that was just a very obvious choice for this album.
I'm talking with Mark Chestnut, and we're featuring his new album today called Outlaw. If you want to find out more information about the CD or all about Mark, you can head to markchestnut.com. We're going to turn back to the music now, Mark, and a cover of a Willie Nelson song, which could be subtitled The Hangover Song. It's called Bloody Mary Morning, a real fun, fast-paced song. Do you want to talk about choosing this song to record?
I've always loved it. I've always loved Bloody Mary Morning. Because there's been many, many, many of those mornings getting up, getting on a plane. after a show somewhere, you know, and having to get on a plane and go do another show on the other side of the world. And so, thank God for Bloody Marys in the morning, because sometimes that's all we can pull through and survive another one.
It's great to know that he wrote one that people can relate to. This is Bloody Mary Morning from Mark Chestnut. It's from his latest CD, Outlaw, and it's here on In the Country.
Well, it's a Bloody Mary morning, baby. Left me without warning sometime in the night. And I'm flying down to Houston before getting her the nature of my flight. As we taxi toward the runway, with smog and haze reminding me of how I feel. Just a country boy who's learning that the pitfalls of the city are extremely real. All the nightlife and the parties and temptation in the seat, the order of the day. Well, it's a Bloody Mary morning, cause I'm leaving maybe somewhere in L.A. It's a Bloody Mary morning, baby, left me without warning sometime in the night. And so I'm flying down the Houston, forgetting her the nature of my flight. Warning sometime in the night. And so I'm flying down the Houston, forgetting her the nature of my flight. Now our golden jet is airborne as flight 50 cuts a path across the morning sky. And a voice comes on the speaker reassuring us flight 50 is the way to fly. Our hostess takes our order, coffee, tea, or something stronger to start off the day. Well, it's a Bloody Mary morning, cause I'm leaving maybe somewhere in L.A. Well, it's a Bloody Mary morning, baby, left me without warning sometime in the night. So I'm flying down to Houston, forgetting her the nature of my flight. I'm flying down to Houston, forgetting her the nature of my flight. Thank you.
There's Mark Chestnut from his CD Outlaw and Bloody Mary Morning, written by Willie Nelson, previously recorded by him, and that is Mark's great touch on the classic. Now, Mark, where can our listeners buy your CD?
Anywhere CDs are sold, or you can go on iTunes and buy it, and, you know, places like that. Because, you know, it's hard to find CDs in stores these days because they're starting, you know, because there's more digital downloads than anything else. But, you know, any of my CDs, and especially this one, you can get on any of those sites.
Excellent. I'll encourage our listeners to do that. It's a great CD. Wanted to talk in our remaining moments here about a couple of things. One of them, George Jones, of course, the legend. Everybody loves him, king of country music. You recorded a couple of duets with him, Talking to Hank and When the Grass Grows Over Me. You want to just sort of describe what it is to know George and to sing with him?
It's been a pleasure. That's another dream. Yeah, I've been so fortunate in this business to have been able to meet and sing with and just hang out with my heroes and to call them friends. You know, I can call these guys on the phone and talk to them when I need to, and I've been friends with George Jones since the mid-'80s, since before I ever had a record out, a record deal. And so George and I are from the same hometown, and so we got to hang out and record together a lot and tour. We toured together at the beginning of my career, and we still do from time to time. And we go out and do shows together, and that's when I realized that I got it made. Anytime I'm standing there singing live with George Jones or in the studio or just hanging out at his house or talking to him on the phone or sitting on the bus with him and singing together on the bus with acoustic guitars, that's when I realized, man, I have made it. I am in the big time. I'm hanging with the big guys now. I'm running with the big dogs. I've got so many stories, but we don't have time for all that. Sometime we need to talk again about all those heroes.
I would love to do that, Mark, do a second show, and just because there's so much more that we could cover, and that'll be a pleasure. One more thing I wanted to ask you about was maybe a quick story behind your big hit that started things off around 1990, and it was the title of that debut album, Too Cold at Home. Still a great song to listen to. I've been listening to it over the last few days. I'm watching the video again. Do you want to talk about sort of the recording of Too Cold at Home and just how exciting that was to get that song out and have it do so well for you?
Yeah, Too Cold at Home changed my life. That's the power of a great song. Yeah, that could have been a hit for anybody, and it had its chances because the great Bobby Harden, who wrote that song, was a great songwriter from, you know, all through the 60s and 70s and 80s, and he's passed away now, but, I met Bobby hanging out one night in Nashville. This is back in the early, mid-'80s when I used to just make regular trips to Nashville. Had friends there, you know, musicians, friends, and we would hang out and sing all night long, sing in the bars. And my buddy Danny Davis is his name, not the famous horn player, but the bass player that played with Justin Tubb and Porter Wagner. He played with these guys.
Yep.
At the Opry. So I was hanging out backstage at the Grand Ole Opry before I was anybody.
Wow.
With Danny. And so I met a lot of people and hung out with them there. And I got to do all this without ever moving to Nashville. It's just amazing. Anyway, I went to Danny's house, and I was there with Danny and his wife, and we were all playing and singing about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and Bobby came over, and so he's singing and playing, and he heard some of my records I was making here in Texas on an independent label, and Bobby said, let me sing you a song I wrote, and nobody's recorded this song, but, you know, and I'm gonna pitch it to you. And he played it, and it was Too Cold at Home, and I literally about fell out of my chair, and it wasn't because of all the beers we were drinking, but it was the song knocked me out, the strength of the song.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe it. He said, nobody's recorded it. He said, no, I pitched it all over town and nobody's cut it. He said, you take it back to Texas, I'm going to put a hold on it for you, and you record that. That's going to be your first big record. And I did just that. But it was probably 6 years, 7 years later before I got Chance to record it. And that's the song that got the attention of MCA Records in Nashville and led to where I'm at today.
Such an amazing song, and still holds up today. Pure country, as everything you do is. Mark, it's been such a pleasure to speak with you, and I'll encourage, again, our listeners to head over to markchestnut.com. They can find out more about the CD called Outlaw, 12 great songs with the Chestnut Touch. And I really look forward, again, to speaking with you, Mark. It's such a pleasure to hear the stories and to talk with you.
Yeah, and you know what? We just scratched the surface. You know, I'd love to talk to you again sometime and spend a little more time with you and just tell you everything, because I've got a whole lot to tell, and not a whole lot of people want to sit and listen to me around here.
Well, I sure do, and we'll definitely make time, and we'll get that set up. Again, Mark, so all the best with your day today and with the brand-new CD. It's an excellent project.
Thank you. I'm glad you like it. It's been really nice talking to you.
My guest today has been country artist Mark Chestnut. I'm Dave Woods, and that wraps up this edition of In the Country.
In the country, we're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country, leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun.